Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Praise God. I'm going to review real quick because it was something vital last week and not all of us were here, but I'm going to pray while you're finding 1 Corinthians 12. Father, we're just so honored to be here. We're so blessed to be here. We thank you for an opportunity to hear the Word of God. Father, it's the word that brings change to us. Father, it's the word that brings light to us and life to us. So, Father, we thank you for the word. And Lord, as I minister your word, I pray that you'd speak through me, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. That, Father, I would speak only as the oracles of God. And Father, I pray that every single person here today that came out to hear your word, Father, I'm asking that you touch their heart today. That, Father, that I would say something that would be pertinent to their life and that would hit the bullseye of what they're going through. And Father, they'll know when it happens and it'll be a sign unto them that you're speaking to them. It'll be a sign unto them that you love them and that you care for them. And Father, we give you the praise and we give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week I talked about, I was at the Dr. Webb meetings, a couple services, and during those services, a lot of times when I'm at services like that, the Lord will speak to me because it's a chance for me to get away and just get fed and not have to be the one giving of myself and just kind of sitting there receiving. And he was talking about how strong his church was, and I didn't need him to say that to know that. I've known about Dr. Webb's church in Alabama, how strong it was. I mean, Kevin and Annie Durant called him their pastor, and that says something because they followed Brother Hagin very closely, and so whoever they're going to call their pastor must have it going on. And if you don't know who the Durants are, they were in our church not too long ago, And also, I just knew the strength of Dr. Webb's church and how wonderful it was. And he said something in that service. He said the thing that marked the success of that church, and he found it out early on, and they really jumped on that bandwagon, was prayer. That it wasn't just prayer from himself. It wasn't just prayer from his wife, but the church was praying. And he said without those prayers of the church and the faithfulness, they'd have never been able to accomplish the things that they accomplished. And so last week, I showed you in the Word that, you know, if you don't pray for your leaders, if you don't pray for your minister, if you don't pray for your pastor, that he can be taken out, or she can be taken out. You know, there's lady pastors as well. They can be taken out. And we saw that example in the Word, didn't we? We saw James, one of the 12 disciples, who was one of the three closest with Jesus, was murdered because the church wasn't praying. Because Peter was captured the same way, but he was spared. And the Bible says the reason was is because people were praying. And I like to say this because I don't know what people think about me, but I'm very sober and humble about how I think about myself. I'm not very high-minded about myself, and sometimes it actually gets into a ditch in the wrong way. But I want to say this is that it's not about me, that I'm not that good to be able to do the will of God and to carry out the blessing that people need on my own. I don't have that strong of an anointing. If James couldn't do it with his anointing, Pastor Mike Anderson at South Dayton is not going to be able to do it with his anointing. And so James needed the church to pray, and they failed, and it cost him his life. Peter needed the church to pray, and they prayed, and it spared him his life, didn't it? What I'm trying to say is that God can't automatically do everything. He needs your help. And so I showed you in the Word, and I pointed out different things of what we're supposed to pray for and what the Bible says you can pray for your minister. And I passed out these sheets, and my heart is, I hope you are faithful to pray this. It takes about 2 minutes to pray this every day and to be faithful to do so. And so if you haven't been faithful to that, please be faithful to that. I am pleading with you and telling you this will not, the plan of God will not go forward. We will not accomplish everything if everybody else is not involved. And if you didn't get a sheet or if you lost your sheet, there's no shame. Just pick up another one. Or if you didn't get one last week, we'll have them out on the table. Please pick one up as you go. And please yield to this and submit to this and pray. Because I'll tell you what, if we don't do that, there could be consequences. And that's what the Lord said to me in the Spirit. He said, your church hasn't been praying for you the way that it should. And if it doesn't start, there will be consequences. Well, I don't want to know what those consequences are, do you? I don't want to know what those consequences are. I'm sure there are many people in James's life that were very upset that he was gone, and I know that there's some people around here in my life that would probably like to have me around and the plan of God go forward, and so I just encourage you to pray. So I'll have those out there. But today I said there's going to be part two of the message, and I urge people to come back because the second thing that the Lord shared with me is what I'm going to talk to you about today in those meetings. And it'll be a great blessing to you personally, but it'll also be a great blessing to this work and the body of Christ. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, It says this in verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. It says, "For the body is not one member, but many members." Now, if you look in context here, what kind of body he's talking about, he's talking about two bodies. He's talking about your natural body, but he's also talking about the body of Christ. Of course, we know we're part of the body of Christ as a whole church, but also individually, we're members of the body of Christ. Some of us are toes, some of us are kneecaps, some of us are legs, some of us are shoulders, some of us are arms, some of us are hands, some of us are the mouth, you know what I mean? Mouthpiece and things like that. And so we all have different roles and different gifts, but the Bible says the body is not one member, but many. And we know this, that, let's see, jump down to verse 21. It says, "The eye," this is talking about the natural body, "the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." You know, the head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you, feet," because the head might say, "Boy, I sure'd like that water over there," but how's the head going to get there without the feet? You see what I mean? It all works together. And so as the body of Christ, if we're going to function properly, we all need to do our part. Amen? We all need to do our part. And unfortunately, you know, in the area of prayer, and again, the Lord said to me, to really encourage me, he said, it's not because people are doing it out of spite, and it's not because people necessarily don't love the work and don't love you, Pastor. It's more out of ignorance. Well, we're not ignorant anymore after last week. And when you get that sheet, you'll see I've laid it out for exactly what to pray biblically for the work and for your pastor. And so we see that. But there's another area where we've been slacking a little bit. And I want to encourage you today. And I want to help you. And again, it'll be a blessing to you personally, but it'll be a blessing to this work. Go with me to Luke chapter 4 real quick. Hallelujah. Do you know that we have Christians walking around that have no idea the potential and the capabilities in their life? We do. The body of Christ is blind to knowing exactly who they are and the potential and the capabilities that they have. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 17, this is talking about Jesus in the synagogue. "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." Now look what Jesus says this day in the church. He opened the Bible and he found in Isaiah, he found a verse that talked about him. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister, and he sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." He's saying that day is when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him to anoint him to do what he just said. So we see here that Jesus had an anointing to do things, didn't he? Jesus had an anointing to go out and to be a blessing to mankind. He was anointed to help people. And it says here that he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering the sight to blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So would anybody here argue with me that Jesus Christ was the anointed one? No, he was. He was anointed to do that. He had a power to do that. He had a mandate to do that. Glory to God. And so we see here that Jesus was anointed, and we think, wow, Jesus did so much wonderful things when he was here. But let me ask you a question, and this is where it's going to start to fire you up and to pump you up for your own life. Where is Jesus now? But where is he physically sitting right now? On the right hand of the Father. Have you ever seen him? I have not ever talked to him in person, shook his hand, hugged him. You know, I told you this, I'm weird, I think weird, but I have a dream to play ping pong with Jesus. And I think I can take him. Praise the Lord. That's how twisted I am, praise God. I actually think I could beat him. And if I scored a point, that'd probably be because he let me. But anyways, he was anointed. And he's not here anymore. He's not here to preach the gospel to the poor anymore. He's not here to heal the brokenhearted anymore. He's not here to preach deliverance to the captives or to recover the sight of the blind or to set at liberty them that are bruised. And so we could either sit around and say, oh, What a sad day it is that Jesus is near. Or we can realize who we are and take our place rightfully. Do you know that the Bible says, I'm not going to take time to go there in Romans, it said that the creation groans waiting for the sons of God to manifest. What does that mean? Creation, the world, the sinners, this planet that is run in darkness, that is run by the devil, is groaning and they're waiting for Christians to step up and be who they're called to be because they need them. They don't know that they need them. They're groaning and they're desperate and they have a void and they don't even know what it is, but they're waiting for you and I to manifest. They're waiting for you and I to come on the scene and say, I'll step up. I'll be who you've called me to be. I'll be what you've placed on the inside of me. Glory to God. I'm going to get to something today that'll really be a help to you because it'll help you in your own personal life and this church. So it says that Jesus was anointed to do those things. Well, now go to Colossians chapter 1. Praise God. Yeah, I'll say that, Lord. Christians sometimes are some of the most wimpy. I'll say it, the word's the only word that comes to my mind. Weaselish. Defeated. Just not doing anything that they should be doing people around. A lot of times. Not in this church, right? We're talking about those other people, right? But it's true. Christians are not taking their place and the world is suffering because of it. And you're suffering because of it, because if you knew who you were, if you realized, whoa, you get a little giddy up in your step, man. And you'd stop letting the devil mess with you. You'd stop letting the devil push you around in this life. And you'd say enough's enough, and you'd draw a line of sand and say, no more, no more. Colossians 1 and verse 27. Now remember, Jesus is anointed. Now I don't know if you know this, but Jesus Christ, the word Christ in the Greek is the word anointed one. The word Christ means anointed, okay? Okay, anointed. Remember, Jesus was anointed, right? Anointed to preach the gospel, deliver, set the captives free, heal the broken. Remember, Jesus was anointed to do that, because Christ means anointing. Well, verse 27 says this, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What's the mystery? You ready for this? Which is this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is it saying? The anointed one inside of you. And you know, when I said, where's Jesus? You shouted out the right answer by saying that he's in me. But I was talking about the physical Jesus. He's not here to walk around and preach anymore. He's not here to lay hands anymore. He's not here to tell people about the gospel. He's not here to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. But guess who is? There's about how many, 30, 40 some little Jesuses in this room right now running around the world. Why? You got Christ, the anointed one, inside of you. What am I trying to tell you? You are anointed. You are anointed to do what Jesus did. You have what it takes to do the works of Jesus. You are not worthless. You are not a nobody. You are not unimportant. You are so important. Glory to God. I think about the gentleman that led me to Jesus. You know, in that book, I tell that testimony. Someday I'll have him here to honor him because, you know, I'm thankful that he led me to the Lord. And in that book, I share that testimony, but one of the things I said in that book is that finally somebody in my life acted like a Christian. Because all of the Christian examples that I had in my life, complaining, beating me over the head about how wrong I was. I mean, I had a grandma, bless her heart, she's in heaven and she loved Jesus, but man, she thumped me with that Bible. I mean, was not done with love. It was not, you know, and I'm not speaking wrong against her. She acted on the level of what she knew. And so nobody around, I mean, I don't know how many times I sat across from ministers and prayed the salvation prayer, because grandma would put me in front of a minister and I'd pray the prayer just to get her off my back. And I walk out of there as unsaved as the next sinner. But finally, somebody who realized they had an anointing on their life, who realized they have something to offer humanity, who realized they carry around precious life. You have the greatest thing that the world needs. You got it. You got it. The one thing the world needs is Jesus, and you got it. You got it. You carry around the greatest treasure, the mystery. What is it? Christ, the anointed one in you. So guess what? Jesus is not only anointed to do that. Fill in the blank and put your name in Luke 4:18 and say, so-and-so is anointed to preach the gospel, heal the brokenhearted, recovering of sight to the blind. You're anointed to do that. The Bible says we're the body of Christ. We are the hands and the feet. We're the ones that do it. Glory to God. You have an anointing in you. 1 John 4, you know, we say, how does that help me personally? It should help you to kick depression through the eyes. It should help you to kick condemnation right between the eyes. This worthlessness, this fact that you say, I don't have any hope in life. There's no, you do have a hope. People are waiting for you. The world is waiting for you to step into your place and to realize, I am anointed. I have what it takes. Glory to God. That's why, you know, if you're sitting back in this church waiting for me to do everything, we will fail. I am here to tell you, we will fail. And I have a specific thing that the Lord dealt with me about to really encourage you about today that I'm going to get to. But I need you to know that you have what it takes. 1 John 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You see, just because the world don't recognize it, just because the world doesn't know it, doesn't make it not true. Just because they're not rolling out the red carpet when you walk by and say, oh, here comes the ones with the anointed one, still doesn't mean that it's not true. But until you come to the knowledge of it, till you get your mind renewed to, I'm special. There's something about me that's different. There's something about me that's going to be a blessing. There's something about me that's going to help people. Amen? Until you get to that place, people are going to go unblessed. Now go with me to Mark chapter 16. Now are you ready for a pastoral spanking?
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know, the Bible says the Lord chastens whom he loves. And again, a lot of this is done out of ignorance. But we need a wake-up call, glory to God. And the first wake-up call is that you're anointed and that you're called. Now look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Now he's talking to his disciples here. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, first of all, let me deal with the fact of you say, well, that was for the disciples. Let me ask you, did Peter, James, John, fill in the blank, did they ever make it to South Dayton? Did they ever make it to Forestville? Did they ever make it to Cherry Creek? Did they ever make it to Fredonia and Dunkirk and Olean and Jamestown and Falconer and Frewsburg and Lakewood and all that? They never made it here. This is what we call the Great Commission, right? He's not just telling the disciples going all the world. They didn't make it into all the world. He's talking about all the disciples that would come after. How do we know he's talking about all the disciples? Because look what he says in verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Not these signs shall follow the disciples that heard Jesus say it out of his mouth or who he was talking to that day. These signs shall follow them that believe. You and I, anybody in the whole world who's a member of the body of Christ, anybody who accepts Jesus, the Bible says signs should follow their name. But you can't exclude going to all the world and preach the gospel because he's talking about everybody that would be saved. Now let me tell you what, go back to verse 15 where it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We get a wrong idea about preaching. We think, well, that's Pastor Mike in a tie behind a pulpit. No, that word preach simply means to proclaim,
right.
To publish,
yeah. Amen.
To proclaim the good news. He said, go into all the world. Well, you want to know something? Pastor Mike sometimes can't get into your world.
Yeah, that's true.
Your world is your world. What is your world? Your family, your friends, your coworkers, those people that are around you. That is your world. And you are commanded by Jesus Christ himself, who you will have to stand before someday, to go into the world and to publish and to declare to the world that he loves them, that he died for them, that he saved them, that they don't have to go to hell, that there's a better life for them. And we're all sitting around waiting for the ministers to do it, and it's out of order because you have what it takes. And let me tell you where I'm getting at today. It is a downright shame. We don't have, let me just use these examples first and you'll know what I'm talking about. You know why there were 5 visitors in Olean last night? Not because of advertising. Not because they just, you know, saw it in the newspaper and Pastor Mike was in the streets 7 days a week and telling everyone. They were five visitors there because every single one of those people were told by somebody who already goes to the church about this wonderful thing that's going on, and they brought them to church. It is a and you want to know why Jamestown is huge? Because everybody in that church is on fire telling everybody they know and getting them into church and getting them born again. There are two couples in that church that are about ready, and you'll hear news of it, about ready to go start their own churches. To be like little popcorn balls going all over the area, get new churches starting. Both of those couples, which I like to call them power couples, you know, they do so much for the church, they're called. And both of those families came to the church, not from an advertisement, not from driving by and saying, oh, it's a church, I think I'll go there. From somebody already in the church telling them. And now they get hooked up. And let me tell you, these people that got hooked up, druggies, alcoholics, they were messed up when they came. But who cares? God can fix all that. But somebody told them, God loves you. God cares about you. God has a plan for you. And they came. They got hooked up. And now they're going to be pastors, husband and wife teams, pastoring, leading people to Jesus. Never would have happened had someone not done what they're called to do, going into the world and preaching the gospel. You don't have to have 3 points and be all eloquent. But first, you have to realize that you're anointed and that you have what it takes. I can tell people about my church at least. I can invite somebody to church. And what I'm saying, it's a downright shame. The majority of people in here have never brought a visitor to church. Right. Let me tell you something. Sheep produce sheep. Yeah. Shepherds don't produce sheep. Right. If you think about the natural world, how do sheep multiply?
Right. Yeah.
Other sheep.
Yeah. Good word.
Other sheep. Sheep produce sheep. And you say, well, what's the big thing? You just want to have a big church. Let me ask you a question. If you're a general going into an army or going into a battle, do you want an army full of 30 people or do you want an army of 60 people? I'll take the army of 60 over 30. If you're a general going into battle and you have an army of 60 and you had a choice to get an army of 120, what would you take? Army of 120. I care less about having a big church naturally. I want to kick the devil's rear end and get this thing done for Jesus. There are people in this area that are on their way to hell. They have a one-way ticket to hell. You have people in your life that have a one-way ticket to hell. That's why this book's going to be such a blessing. It's going to be a tool. It's going to be a tool for you. But why aren't we hungry enough? This is where I scratch my head. And this is the part of the spanking. So if you see, man, he seems mad, I am. That's as mad as I can look. I don't really know how to be that mad. Praise God. I scratch my head. I wonder, you know, they've come here and they've been faithful for years. I'm assuming they come because they like it, because they're getting something. Why aren't we bringing people with us? Why aren't we telling our family? Why aren't we telling our friends? Why aren't we telling our coworkers? Why aren't we inviting them and bringing them to church? And I think a lot of it is because you don't understand you got what it takes to open your mouth and say something. And the devil has lied to you for so long, oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. You want me? Let me tell you something that'll just pull the lid off the devil's plan and really help you.
Yes.
It is not your responsibility. It is not your responsibility to try to change somebody's mind and change their heart. It's your responsibility to preach the gospel. It's the Holy Ghost's job to change them. And so many times we think, oh, they won't respond anyways. That's not your job. Your job is that. And once you do that, you're clean. You're good. Your job is to walk in love and to be an example. And your job is to, you know, it's interesting. I'll leave big tips, but I won't just leave a big tip. I'll leave a big tip with a Bible verse. Because what's the point of blessing someone with a $50 bill? And then so a $50 bill, that's not going to save their life. But if I bless them with 50 and that's, oh, wow, wakes them up. And then you say, John 3:16, or God's got a plan for your life. And here's an address to a church that you should go to. It's not my job if they go there or not, but it's my job to preach it to them. Amen? Do you see what I'm saying? And so many times, I know for myself, the devil has lied to me and said, it's not going to matter anyways. You tell all the people, they're not going to respond. Oh, they'd never listen. Oh, they'd never. That's not your job. And stop taking that weight on yourself. Isn't that like a weight lifted when you realize, I don't have to try to convince them.
Right.
I don't have to, well, what if they don't respond? Well, what if they don't?
Right.
Let me tell you this, you're going to have more unsuccess than you will success. You will. Why? Because the Bible says, narrow is the road that leads to life, but broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many find it. So the odds are already stacked against you. We already know by the word that you're going to have more unsuccessful attempts at winning someone to Jesus, trying to get them into church, than you are successful attempts. But it doesn't mean we lay down and say, well, then it's not worth it. No, because just one person that you could help could go on to pastor a church that's going to lead thousands to the Lord. It's going to send missionaries out of that church. You see what I'm saying? Glory to God. Sheep produce sheep. Shepherds do not produce sheep. You say, Pastor, it is your job to do it. No, it's not. Let's look at Acts chapter 6. I want to show you. Because this is what I'm talking about. I want to go into war. I want to go battle and to go onto greater battlefields. We need more people to do that. We need more people to help. We need more people to serve. We need more finances coming in to do the things God's called us to do. I can't grow this church on my own. I can't grow this church on my own. Every, you know that I hear from the Holy Ghost, and you know I give a salvation call. Every week, there's a chance for someone to have their lives changed here. What? Now, maybe if you are out there telling, no one's responding, well, good for you, you know, just keep walking in love, being an example. But man, if we're not doing it, we need to pick up the ball on this and say, wow, you know, I really haven't. I can't tell you the people that I'm responsible for. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back, because I was just being a doer of the word. And you're being a doer of the word by being here in church today, and we're not patting ourselves on the back for that. But when I was the associate pastor at Jamestown for 3 years, I can't tell you the number of people that I was responsible for bringing that church. Because I wasn't the shepherd. I was one of the sheep, and sheep produce sheep. And I was out there, and I'll tell you, there were so many people that never showed up. There's so many people that denied me, but there's a few that stayed in, that they are some of the top leaders that Pastor Tim has in his church, and the only reason they're there is because somebody opened their mouth. The only reason your pastor's before you today is because somebody opened their mouth.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Realized, I'm anointed. Didn't have the fear of, well, what if this guy rejects me? What if this person rejects me? So what? Jesus was rejected. Jesus was rejected over and over. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got what it takes. You're anointed to do this. That's what they want you to see. It's not in your own ability. You're anointed to do this.
Yeah.
You have Christ in you, the hope of glory, the anointed one. You're anointed to share the gospel. If you just would have the faith to step out and open your mouth, you wouldn't believe what God would do to fill that mouth of yours. You would, things will come out of your mouth. God would fill it. And you'll be like, oh my God, I can't even believe I said that. How I didn't know I had that in me. Because you're anointed to do so. But it takes you stepping out in faith. And once you do that, God will meet you. God will meet you. The Holy Ghost will fill your mouth. And you'll say things. And you'll preach life. And you'll preach words from heaven to people. And be a great blessing. Glory to God. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1 says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the aggressions against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So they were doing kind of like a handout system. And this certain group of people were being neglected, and they were complaining about it. It says, then the 12, of course we know the 12, were the ones in charge of the church. They were the leaders. They were the overseers. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, now get this, it is not reason, or it is not right, that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. What's he saying? He's saying, it's not right for the ministers to stop doing what they're doing with the word of God to serve these widows. He said, that doesn't make sense. And he goes on to tell us why it doesn't make sense. In verse 3 and 4, he says, wherefore, brethren, because it's not right that we do that, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. So he says, we're not supposed to do this, but there are people that are called to do the work of the ministry. Now look what he says in verse 4, the minister says. But we, the ministers, the ones that are in charge, the ones that are leading this thing, will give ourselves occasionally.
No.
Does it say occasionally? Because you need to know this, because this is a backwards idea in American churches. We will give ourselves, what's that next word? Continually. What does that mean? Does that mean, well, here and there? Does that mean, well, today and then tomorrow? No. No, it means all the time. This is the job description of your pastor right here in this verse. To continually give myself to prayer and to the ministry of the word.
That's right.
The studying of the word, the feeding of the word, the praying. That is my job description. To constantly be in word and prayer. That is the two things. Now, there's business things that come up that I have to tend to, but the majority of what I'm to do in life, it's not to cut the grass. It's not to serve in nursery. It's not to wash the windows. It's not to come to clean the church. And it's not because those jobs are less important. It's not because those jobs are lesser significance. It's just not what I'm called to do.
That's right.
I'm called to do the ministry of the word and prayer continually. You know what that means? It doesn't leave room for me to do anything else when I'm called to do that continually. It doesn't leave room for me to go into your personal world and evangelize everybody in your family and evangelize everybody at your work and evangelize every one of your friends. No, your job is to do that. Real quick, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 4. Praise the Lord. You know, it's hardly ever that I give spanking, so this probably feels real good, right? You know, it's like this when you play guitar, you get calluses. But if I don't play for a while, man, and then I pick up the guitar and play, oh, it hurts so bad. But if I play for a while, man, I get nasty, hard calluses, and I can just strum that thing for hours. Well, that's kind of like your bottoms right now. You know, they haven't been spanked very much, so there's no calluses there. It probably feels real good. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. Can you imagine standing before Jesus and him saying to you, why didn't you tell anybody about me? Like you got the benefits of me, but why? I remember one time I was in Colorado on my student loan money. I know, real smart, right? And I was on a mountain with Pastor Tim. And I was looking out, and you know, you couldn't see anything but just snow-capped mountains in Colorado. And I remember being up there and just being awed by the beauty of it. And how wonderful it was. And the only thing that I could think of at the time was, the ones that I love the most, I wish they were there to see this. I wish they could experience it with me, right? Isn't that, don't you ever have that where you go through something wonderful and you want those people around you to experience this with you?
Yeah, sure.
And that's what I think of when it comes to the things we're receiving at this church and the things that we're receiving from God. Don't you want others to have the kind of word that's being taught to you be taught to them? Don't you want... I mean, I've had people tell me miracle testimonies of what's going on in their life and God moving in their life in this church. Don't you want other people to experience that? And can you imagine standing before the King of Kings and having him say, you never told a soul about me. Yet you got fed every week, 52 weeks a year at that church, the Word of God. And you never invited anybody. You never made it a point to, I'll pick you up or I'll bring you. Or you know what it comes down to? Being willing to be inconvenienced.
Yeah, that's good.
Being willing to be inconvenienced. You see, Jesus, he was always willing to be pulled the other direction. Oh, Lord, there's someone in this that needs your help. Okay. Why? He wasn't his own. Being willing to be inconvenienced for somebody. Well, oh man, you know, if I do that, I'm going to have to drive 15 minutes out of the way. Are you kidding me? For heaven and hell? Oh, I might have to wake up to it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I mean, let's stop and think about it, right? Yeah. Oh, you know, if I do that, it's going to cost me a little bit of gas. Are you kidding me concerning heaven and hell?
Come on.
You're concerned about $5 extra in your gas tank or 15 extra minutes of your day or going out of your way a little bit, maybe getting to lunch a little bit later?
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? I'm better to hear it from me than him. Being willing to be inconvenienced for Jesus. That's why I'm amazed. And now I'm not talking to you today because you're here. I'm amazed how that in 3 years of, and again, I'm not talking about when people have work responsibilities. I'm not talking about, you know, something comes up or if they're on vacation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm amazed that sometimes I hear the things that people tell me, the reasons they're not in church. Yet for 3 years in a row, I can drive from Jamestown to be in this service in the winter and in the snow and only miss when I was on my deathbed or if I'm out of town. Not just, well, I just slept in, didn't feel like coming. I can't understand how people can do that. They're coming to hear from Jesus. And I just don't get it. I mean, I'll drive to Olean every week and be faithful and not miss, and there'll be people in Olean 5 minutes away from the church that won't show up. How? How? And again, I'm not talking about vacations and work. Don't get mad at me and say, Pastor says we can never have fun. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. We're not being religious about this. We understand people have things that come up and they travel. That's not what I mean. That's not what I'm talking about. But Ephesians 4 and verse 11 says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and we're almost done, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So there it is. The pastor's job is to help perfect you. Now look at the next word. For the perfecting of the saints, so the pastor can do the work of the ministry. Nope. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. The saint's job is to do the work of the ministry. But unfortunately, instead of a lot of saints in the body of Christ, we've had a lot of ain'ts. Because they ain't acting like a saint. Because a saint does the work. A saint evangelizes. A saint goes out and tells. A saint publishes. A saint tells about the goodness of God. You say, well, I'm worried about offending someone. I'll tell you what, the flames of hell will offend them a lot worse than what you can say. The flames of hell will offend those people in your life a lot worse than what you can say. There was a gentleman that lived down the road from Courtney's parents in Pennsylvania. And sweetest man, just sweetest man. And he, you know, he always, when I would talk to him, he'd have a real bad mouth, you know. And I could just tell, he probably wasn't born again. Now, I don't know for sure, you know, just because someone has a bad mouth doesn't mean they're not born again. But when I would talk to him a little bit, he'd ask me about what I do in life and stuff. I could just tell he was kind of standoffish to it, that he wanted to change the subject. And so, you know, God was not a topic that he loved. Well, that caused me to back off. And the Lord was telling me over and over again, just tell him that I love him. Just tell him that I died for his sins on the cross. What would that be doing? That would be publishing or preaching the gospel. Sure. The gospel is simply this. Jesus died for you, and there's heavens available for you for free if you want it. You know, that's preaching the gospel. And the Holy Ghost told me over and over, and I wouldn't do it. I was so afraid that he'd start cussing me up and down, that he'd go tell her parents, that this whole thing would blow up and all this thing. I never told him. And that man died. And I'm about to guarantee he went straight to hell. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to stand in front of Jesus someday. And and if that man's in hell, I'm going to see him down there, suffering in torments. And the Lord's going to say, you couldn't say one thing to him about me? I was so worried about myself that I couldn't say to him, you know, Jesus loves you so much. I remember one time I was driving down to her house, and there was a gentleman that I could tell by the look that he had that he was very depressed and very sad, and he was pumping gas at a gas station. And I drove by, and the Holy Spirit said, turn around and go tell him about me. And I said, not going to do it. I don't want to be rejected. I'm not going to do it. And I kept getting closer to her house and got stronger and stronger. And I knew that if I disobeyed, it would be trouble for me. Fine. Turned the car around, drove back to the gas station. I walked. I said, you know, I just want to let you know I was driving by here. And in my heart, the Lord said to me to come tell him about you. And I just want to tell you about Jesus. He started cussing me up and down, said, if you don't get off my property, I'm calling the police. So I left. I drove out there so ticked off at the Holy Ghost. And I said to him, I said, Holy Spirit, you told me. I know I heard your voice. You told me. And look what happened to me. You almost got me arrested. Yeah, that's why I said, I just have it out with God. And the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, I told you to tell him about me. I didn't tell you that he would receive me. But I'll tell you what, now the man has a seed in him. Now that man will never be able to stand before the Lord and say, I didn't know. Right. And God, the Bible says God will be justified by when everybody stands before him. There's not one soul that will be able to say, I didn't know. God will send get to him somehow. But we have to be the somehow. Yeah. We have to be the somehow. Amen. And it's amazing to me, the Holy Ghost corrected me. I told you to go talk to him. I didn't tell you he'd receive from me. But there's a seed in him, and he's heard the gospel now. And I did my part, glory to God. But we're so worried about the results. We're so worried, well, what do I say? Yeah. Tell them that Jesus died and rose again. They don't have to go to hell. That's pretty simple. Yeah. Right? You don't have to come up with some eloquent sermon of, boy, I don't know how do I do this. Just preach the gospel. Proclaim it. Yeah. You'd be amazed. I've shaken my head sometimes at the people I thought would not have anything to do with it. And I've just simply told them, Lord loves you so much and has heaven for you. And tears begin to flow. I've never been told that before. And I'm thinking the whole time, oh my gosh, I've held off from telling you forever because I thought you were going to have this reaction. Or I thought you were going to have fill-in-the-blank reaction, so therefore I stayed away. Yeah, we're afraid, well, if I bring him to church, what if Pastor Mike talks about tongues? Do you know we've had more people get born again when I've talked about tongues in this church? I can think of two services. One of them was down at the mustard seed when we were freezing in the other building. And then we had to go down there. And I talked about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And somebody got born again. Who'd have thought? God knows what he's doing. What if Pastor Mike talks about money? Well, that's what they might need to hear to change their situation around. We're so afraid. We have all these thoughts. What if they say this? What if Pastor Mike does it? What if they don't like the music? What if they see people raising their hands and it weirds them out? Stop! Trust that the anointing of God and that the Holy Ghost is stronger than what you think He is. You're all saved. You were all losers and worthless at one time. And somebody told you and didn't hold off. I mean, I remember I was with Pastor Tim a couple weeks ago at Bergman Park in Jamestown on the playground. And I am fixing to close, which means nothing, right? And so we were on the playground with his two boys and Caleb. And there was these people on the basketball courts. And I mean, it was like an F-bomb parade had come through the playground that day. And I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like trying to talk loud. I'm like, all Caleb needs, he's like a parrot. All he needs to hear is this new word one time. And Houston, we have a problem. And so I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Because that kid, he repeats everything. And so I'm thinking, oh boy. And Pastor Tim made a comment, and you know, because we were like, man, I just wish they wouldn't do that. But they don't know any better, you know. It's not like we were getting judgmental, or we just didn't want our kids to hear that, you know. And I remember Pastor Tim said, man, it brings tears to my eyes. He said, there could be a pastor in that group right there. That's, you know, they the way they're dressed and the way they're talking and they're dirty. And he said, you know, that was you and I. And it was him and I who would sit in the woods with cases of beer and just do carousing and doing all these wrong things. We were the least candidates to pastor a church. Yet someone didn't say, oh, they'd never receive it. And so they told us anyways, and it sunk in, and it was the best news I ever heard. And there's people in your life that are waiting to hear the best news. Stop letting your fear of how they're going to respond. If they reject you, praise God, I'm worthy to be counted like Jesus was. I'm suffering in what Jesus did. He was rejected. He was denied. But then there were people that wasn't denied and rejected by Jesus, and their life was changed. And there will be people that will not be denied and rejected by you, and their life will change, and you'll get the credit for it. Glory to God. And so I'm teaching the Lord, but there's something that I heard a church do that I love, and it's called Each One Reach One, and I love that. Where each person in the church for a month, and there's going to be a month coming up that we're going to do this, that we're going to hone in on just one person. Do you realize if everybody in this church just brought one person, we'd need two Sunday services? Just, I'm talking one. And what if that one person brings a family of five? Or what if 10 people that reach one ends up bringing... I mean, you talk about, why am I telling you we're going to have to need a new building? Because when people step into the place that they're supposed to, this thing is going to blow up. It is going to explode. If just everybody was responsible to make sure one person came into church, we'd have a packed house and have to go to two Sunday services if they all got faithful. Yeah. So I'm seeking the Lord on what month to do that. But it doesn't mean, I'm going to wait till He says that month, then I'm going to start reaching out. No, preach the gospel now. Preach the gospel now. Reach out. You know, there's certain people that God has led me. Don't say anything to them, but just love them and love them. And there are certain people that I just kept softening them up with the love of God. You say, well, it's not a ploy, it's a ploy for good. The worst thing, the best thing for them is Jesus. And so I just would keep loving on them. I'd keep blessing them. I'd keep doing things out of my way. Let me tell you about that guy that won me the Lord. When we'd go somewhere, he'd drive. And if I drove, he'd always make sure to give me gas money. He was always paying for my meals. What was that doing? Softening me up. The love of God was coming in and just consuming me. And I ended up receiving Jesus. Amen. So praise God, you're anointed, you are to do the work of the ministry, you have what it takes, just open your mouth and start to win people and bringing people to this church and getting them born again, amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word today. Lord, I thank you that I am in good company here today. Father, I'm with a group of people who have what it takes. Father, they have something special on their life, they have an anointing on their life. Father, I pray that everybody's eyes would be opened. Lord, to see. Now, it doesn't mean everybody's going to be a pastor. It doesn't mean everybody's going to stand behind a pulpit or have a public ministry. But, Father, we all have a mission field. Lord, my life is a mission field. Everybody in these seats, their life, their job, their family, their friends, it's a mission field. Father, we don't have to go to the far reaches of Africa or the deepest, darkest places in China to find unsafe people. Father, we can just look in our own family. We can look in our own jobs. We can look in our own life, in our own day-to-day, and we can find a mission field, Father, of people that are just suffering and need you. Father, I just pray that everybody here, their eyes would be open to this message. Father, that you would open their eyes not only to the responsibility that they have, but Father, that you'd open their eyes to the fact that they have what it takes, that you have an anointing in them, that they are special, that they are equipped, that they can do this. That Father, they're not out there on their own, but they have the Holy Ghost empowering them and helping them. When they would just open their mouth, that you would fill it, Father. And I thank you that they would see that, yeah, I do have what it takes. Yeah, I am going to make a difference. Yeah, I am going to change some lives. Yeah, I am going to help my church. Yeah, we are going to grow. Yeah, we are going to go forward and knock out the devil's plan. Yeah. Pray that they would see that, Father, in Jesus' name. If I could ask everybody's head to be bowed and eyes to be closed. If you're listening to this on live stream or if you're here, ask yourself this question real quick. I never like to close a service without this. If you're in this room or listening by live stream, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? Ask yourself that. Because there's coming a day where you won't be here on planet Earth. I just want to tell you that. Check the obituaries. Every day there's people there that never thought they would be there. They're there now. Just like you might feel like, oh, I'm going to live forever. Unless Jesus comes before you die, you will see a natural death. Ask yourself this. When that natural death comes, where am I going? Well, if your answer isn't a 100% heaven, I'm here to tell you it can be heaven. The Bible says all you have to do is receive Jesus. He's made it simple. It's not about how good or how bad you've been or how much money you've given or how much money you haven't or any of that stuff. It's all about what did you do with Jesus? He died on the cross 2,000 years ago for your sin. And the Bible says that if you accept him, you receive eternal life. And you can know for sure that when your time is up on this natural earth and when it's time to check out and go to the next place, you're going into glory land. Praise God. So if you're here and you can honestly say, man, I don't know where I'd go. I want to give you a chance to receive Jesus. Now let me calm your nerves and your fears. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to have you stand up. This is going to be between you and God. Heads are bowed in this congregation and eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus, if you want to know today that when you walk out of this building, you're going to heaven, don't let this day pass you by. Don't say, well, I'll wait, or it's just not the right time. No, the time of salvation is now. It's now. God's crying out to you. He's knocking on the door of your heart, and he's trying to get in there, and you know he is. If you want to receive Jesus, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just lift your hand in the air, and then you can put it right back down. Is there anybody in this building that wants to receive Jesus at all? Anybody? Just lift your hand up and put it down. Anybody? Father, I don't see any hands in this building, but Lord, I don't know all the ears that are listening by live stream. So if you're in this building and you should have raised your hand, but you didn't, or if you're listening and you know that's me he's talking about, just cry out to Jesus. Just say, Lord, I believe you died for me. Lord, I believe you rose again, and I ask you to come into my heart. And then thank him for saving you. And then get into a Bible-teaching church that will tell you the word and watch your life begin to change. Father, we thank you for your mercy. Father, I thank you that the sons and daughters of God in this congregation are going to start taking their place and where they're supposed to be, and proclaiming your gospel. And Father, I thank you that their world around them will never be the same, that people are changing, people will be born again, people will be discipled, and people will get into church and be changed, and the plan of God will go forward. I declare that in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, y'all have an awesome rest of the weekend. There's no Wednesday service, and we'll see you next Sunday, 10 o'clock. You're just